Greetings in Jesus' name. How great He is. If it weren't for His greatness, I wouldn't want to be up here. I feel like Moses this morning. Lord, if You're not going to be with me, don't bring me up here. But He's promised that He will be with us here today. And I believe He is. Let's pray. Thank You, God, for the promises that You've given to us in Your holy word. And for the testimony of Your Spirit with our spirit that we're Your sons and daughters. We look to You again today, God. We turn our cups up. And we pray, God, pour out a blessing from heaven. You fill our cups to overflowing, O Lord. And, O God, help us to just overflow in praise and adoration and worship to Your holy name. Devotion, consecration to You, God, to Your cause, to Your kingdom. May You be glorified again today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ready to sing the song? All right, let's stand.
I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. More and more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me.
Hands up on that? For real? Amen. God bless you. Sit down. Bible school. In my mind and heart has some special memories. I didn't go to Bible school real often as a student. I remember about 50 years ago, I was to 1 3-week term of Bible school up at Numidia. And first time I had ever been up in this cold part of the country. And I'll tell you, I wasn't too fond of the cold, but I loved Bible school. And we had a chorister that was really an inspiration. And he taught us a connection, a connecting together of choruses that takes us from salvation to heaven. And I don't know, I suppose you all know some of those choruses and some of those songs. It starts out, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. And then it goes from there to, isn't He wonderful? And so on and on and on. And I'd just like if we sing that the best we can this morning. So all of you that know the parts that we're singing, join in. Let's sing it from the heart. And praise the Lord.
Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, 'tis recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll tarry on. Until the day mine eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Home, sweet home, happy home, sweet home. Oh, say, will you meet me there in that home above, where all is love and joy beyond compare.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all meet there. You know, I don't think we'll ever meet back together in just this way again on this earth. I don't think so. I think probably the next place I'll see a number of you will be in heaven. I live a long ways from here, and I'm planning to be leaving this afternoon. Have a flight out from Atlanta, Georgia, Monday evening. My mother lives in Georgia. A number of my brothers and sisters, and plan to be heading down there to get down before, by tomorrow evening if possible. And then from there, going on down to Bolivia. Looking forward to getting back home. So I doubt I'll see a lot of you again. That's not really so important if we see each other here. Let's meet in glory. At home, sweet home. Happy home, sweet home. And but until then, we want to be faithful to the Lord. You know, I just believe that God, that the work that God has begun, He will perform. He will do it. All we have to do is just say, yes, Lord, do it. Go ahead, Lord, do that work. And I just believe that your presence at Bible school here wasn't any incidental thing. I don't think it was something that just happened. I believe God wanted you here. God wanted you here. I don't know why, but I think I know. But God wanted me here this week. Not because I'm anything, but because He's everything. And I want Him to be the lifted up one. I don't want to preach myself. I want to preach Jesus Christ. And I want you folks, you young people, you dear young people, I want you to go from here filled with Jesus Christ and sharing Jesus Christ. The Lord has put something on my heart this morning. I believe God has been reaching out and touching hearts here. And this morning, before we get into the message, I'd just like to give you young people the opportunity. If God has been speaking to your heart through this week, to present your body that living sacrifice, just simply that renewal before God. God, here is my body. I give it to you as a living sacrifice. You take it. You do with this body what you want to do. You take me where you want to take me. You lead me where you want to lead me. I'm in your hands. And I don't want this to be some emotional thing that just blows over. And I don't want it to be something that you do just because of the person beside you. I'm asking every eye to close, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and want to dedicate your life to God in that way, would you please raise your hand? Praise
God, let us pray. Oh God, we're here this morning before you. You have worked a revival in the hearts of these young people. You stirred us up anew with commitments, with dedication to you, O God, and to you be all glory, praise, and honor. Dominion and might forever and forever. And in the hearts of these young people, God, I want to lift them to you in a special way this morning. And I pray, God, that the blessing of the presence of your Holy Spirit fill every life. Everybody that would be a temple of yours, O God, and that you would be glorified and honored, and that your kingdom would progress, your kingdom would grow, and the kingdom of Satan would be defeated. God, use these young people. Use these young people in your kingdom for your glory, God. Stir revival in these last days. Prepare hearts to suffer for your name's sake and count it a joy. Prepare hearts to die for Jesus. It's in this precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you, young people. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, beholding the multitudes which were thronging him and taking his time to where he hardly had time to eat. And he looked upon them with compassion. And he said to his disciples, you've been at Jesus' feet these last days, haven't you? You've been at Jesus' feet. You're his disciple. Amen? He has a message for you. The harvest truly is great, plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest. That's the message of God for you folks, for every one of us. Even includes old men like me, by the grace of God. It includes us all. I'm so happy to be a part of that, those that God uses in His kingdom. Not that I feel like I'm anything, but He's everything. And it's such a blessing just to be in His hands. Sometimes I get this question. I hear this question. People ask me, said, oh, so you're a missionary. And my question is, and what are you? Where do you live? You know, every one of us must be a missionary. We are a missionary. And all of our churches must be on the mission field, or we become a mission field. And so, Jesus says to His people, go ye therefore, because all power is given unto Him. God did not put us here in this world to live unto ourselves, but unto Christ Jesus our Lord. Live unto Christ, not for ourselves, but for Him. We touched that yesterday. But again, that's why we're here, to live unto Christ. He put us here to be lights. He put us here to be salt to the earth. He put us here to be His witnesses. Spiritually, we receive. You've been here this week and you've received. You were like Mary at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said that she's chosen the good part which will not be taken from her. What you've had here is yours. But you know what? If you receive this and then just bottle it all up to yourself, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. spiritually, what we receive, we must share or we will lose it. We could take the example of the little lad with the lunch. And there were 5,000, more than 5,000, there were 5,000 men and then plus women and children. I don't know how many thousand there were. And they were there hungering. They were thirsting. They were hungry. And I tell you, there are people, we live in a hungry world. There's people all around us. They're hungry. They're needy. And Jesus is saying to you as His disciple, give them to eat. And you might say, well, I just don't feel like I have it. Well, that little lad didn't feel like he had much either. But you know what? He took that little bit that he had and he put it in the hands of Jesus. Hey, draw some spiritual lessons from it. Take the little you have, put it in the hands of Jesus, and He feeds. He can feed a multitude. He can feed that neighbor. He can feed, yes, even little children. He fed men and women and little children, all ages. He had food for them. You know what? That's what Jesus wants our life to be. He wants our life to be a blessing and have something that's precious and real, even for little babies. And from there, you know, however big you might be, Jesus wants our life to be a blessing, to overflow. That's our mission. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sure we all know that probably by memory, but again, it's the words of Jesus to His disciples, and we said we're disciples of Jesus, amen? We're disciples of Jesus, so let's see what Jesus has to say to us here this morning. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's where we live. That's where we live. We may not be over in Jerusalem. We may not be in Samaria or Judea. But Jesus is simply stating here, from where you are, begin. Don't wait till you get that call way out there somewhere to be a missionary. You be that missionary right where you are. Begin there. You know, sometimes I feel like we just simply put too glamorous a title over people that have gone somewhere a ways off to be missionary. We're all missionaries. I guess some people like the glamour and the glitter of what they think is a part of being a missionary. Like the little boy, when the pastor asked him, he said, after there was a missionary report and the missionary had talked about what he was doing, and so he asked the little boy, what do you want to do when you grow up? He said, I want to be a returned missionary. A returned missionary. Oh, you know, we can talk a lot about fishing. We can talk about, Jesus said, come unto me and I will make you fishers of men. We talk about the fishing and how to fish and where the fish are. But we've got to get out there and fish. We've got to get out there where the people are and share Jesus with them. But you know, we can do that. We can try and do that in the energy of the flesh. The Bible says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Don't ever make the attempt to go out and really do something for Jesus without the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a failure. All it is a lot of energy that's in the flesh. We seek God's face. Even the neighbor that comes to your door, that may be your most pesky neighbor you have, and you don't really like to see him coming down the lane because, oh, here he comes again. Remember, he's the soul that Jesus died for. He's coming to you, and God is letting him come to you for a reason. I have a neighbor that's just like that. I think probably we all do. And when I see Don Mariano coming down the lane, I say, oh, I wonder what he... And then the Lord says, Ed, that's carnal. That's carnal. He's coming to you because I sent you here. And I'm sending him to you this morning And then dear old Don Mariano takes on a different perspective in my heart, in my mind. And I can say with truth, Buenos dias, Don Mariano. Mucho gusto verlo. Good morning, Mariano. I'm so glad to see you. Sit down. Just a minute. And I go to the house and I heat up a little coffee and pour him a cup of coffee and let's talk. And you know, just about invariably, the Lord just opens the door to share Jesus. And he's heard about Jesus so many, 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 many times. And I know I could say, well, he's just a deceitful man. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's all this list of things. And he may be, but he's a soul for which Jesus died. And he needs to see the love of Jesus coming from my heart. And that's what all of our neighbors, they just need to see the love of Jesus flowing from the heart. A heart that's filled with the Holy Spirit. You may not have the words all just right and intact. But you know, that's not really so important. The love of Jesus is more than your words. The love of Jesus flows. It flows like a river. And I'd say the first place it hits is those that we live closest to. You know, you might say, well, I need to get out there and share it with my neighbors. First place we need to share Jesus is right with those brothers and sisters or sons and daughters that we live with. Yes, right in the home. That's where Jesus is shared first of all. There was a dear old black lady down in the close to us, our neighbor lady in the south, and I don't know what all she meant by this, but she always say, yep, charity begins at home. And you know, love begins at home. And that's where it must be. It begins right at home. If we don't have that love of Jesus flowing in our hearts for each other at home, we don't really have anything to share. We need to get down on our knees and repent and ask that Jesus come in and clean us up and fill us and put on Christ. You know, that scripture says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Spanish, it says, be dressed with Jesus. Put on the Jesus. Just be dressed with Him. Hey, by the way, how many of you put on the perfume of Jesus this morning? Oh, I guess the perfume belongs on this side, doesn't it? Did you put on the perfume of Jesus this morning? Are you smelling well with Jesus? Amen. Praise God. And, you know, brothers, are we putting on Jesus? Does the world see Jesus from our life? Do they see a flow or a reflection that says, you know, really, that's what I need. Down inside of me, that's what I want. Put on Jesus. Jesus said, we are here in this world to show forth, His Word says, to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We're testifying this morning that we're in the marvelous light. Amen? We're seeing Jesus. We're in the light of Jesus. And we're walking in the light as He is in the light. So He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And He wants us to show forth the praises of that. You know, I don't believe that a person that's really, truly born again can just walk around with a long face and be grumbling and be complaining. I don't think that's Jesus. That's not Jesus. In everything, give thanks. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Show forth the praises of Him, of Jesus. Maybe you're getting tired of me talking about Jesus so much, but I tell you, He's so good and He's so precious. He's the only one we really want to lift up. Yes, Jesus. And Jesus said, as to the Father in His high priestly prayer, He said, As Thou hast sent me, even so send I them into the world. He came to be a light. He came to be the healer. He came to reach out to the filthy, to the down and out, to the And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Your presence here at Bible school is by divine plan. God wants you to go from this place with a new or renewed fire of the Holy Spirit burning within your heart that will help encourage other souls to Jesus. The fields we work may vary. It may be that some of you work with little children. It may be that some of you work are sharing Jesus on the job. It may be some of you are sharing Jesus in your business contacts. It may be you may be working in the field and just singing the praises of the Lord while you're working. It doesn't matter where we are, as long as we're with Him and in Him. The important thing is that we're a true witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we ask the question, how? How do I become a fisher of men? And God has the answer. He says, just look at Jesus. How Jesus did it. That's what God told me. And I just share it because God told me that way. About 20 some years back, the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, "Ed, I want you to go preach the gospel to the poor." I've really never shared this testimony publicly in a public setting, but I'm just going to share it with you as an encouragement and to lift up Jesus. It's nothing about me. It's Him. The Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Ed, I want you to go preach the gospel to the poor." And this burden started growing and growing. And I was like, "Lord, I thought that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do that here in my community." "That's fine. That's fine. I don't understand it." "That's fine, Ed. You don't need to understand it. I just want you to go preach the gospel to the poor." And I started getting desperate with God. And I finally said, "God, if this is just my feelings, take it away. But if it's from You, keep calling. I do want to do Your will." And He kept calling. He kept speaking. And you know, it seemed like He was asking me to do something that was an impossible thing to do. And in one sense, it was. I was a pastor for 21 years in a congregation. I had a family. I was a farmer. Things were going relatively well. Why leave this? God said, "Go preach the gospel to the poor." Finally, from the depths of my being, I came to the point that I said, "Lord, I don't understand this. I admit I don't understand it. But I promise You, God, I'll make a vow to You. If You show me and make it clear, I'll go regardless what man thinks, regardless what I have to leave. I'll leave it all to follow You." When I reached that point in my commitment, it was only a short time, and I was invited to go to Bolivia. I said, "Bolivia? I don't know a soul there, never been there, don't speak the language." And God gave me a peace. And I went back home, and I told the man that invited me, I said, "I need time to think and pray." I went back home, and I called my dear bishop brother, and I said, "Oh, Brother David, I said, I've been invited to go to Bolivia. What do you think about it?" "By all means, go. It would do you good," he said. Well, he didn't know what all was going on here. And so I went to Bolivia. A strange land, a strange language, strange everything. And the Lord had a plan. He had it all mapped out. He had an agenda for my visit. I didn't even know about it. And I was there only a few days. And someone invited me to go back to a little village back in. And I said, "Well, I'm here. I don't know anybody." I said, "Sure, I'll go." And felt peace about it. So we went back and got back into the little town of Santa Rosa. Got back into the little town of Santa Rosa. And no more than pulled in. We were on a dirt road for a long time. I thought, "Man, this is way back in." And got back in there. And here along the street, by the side of the street, it was getting late afternoon. And there was a group of looked like American missionaries standing there. The ladies had long dresses and veils on. And I said, "Who are these people?" "Oh, I don't know. It wasn't really that important to them." I said, "I need to know. I have to find out who these people are. Okay, so they stop. I get out and I introduce myself, and they said, well, one of them said he was a William Mast, and the other said he was a Brother Holcomb from Missouri. He was an ex-Baptist preacher, and the other was a William Mast. And we got to talking a little bit, and, you know, we really wanted to talk. And then they said, hey, we have to be leaving, but jump in here with us. We're going back. We have a mission back in the bush. I thought I was already in the bush. And we have a mission back in the bush, back in the jungles. And we'd like to invite you to go with us tonight. And I said, well, I said, I see you got a load already. I don't want to take your time from you and disturb anything because you've got already got a load. No. Jump right in. And so I jumped in. I felt a piece about it. I told the rest of them. I said, I'll meet you tomorrow somewhere. I don't know. But I'm going with these people back in the bush. And I got to riding back through the bush. And I said, Lord, what's this all about? This was an accident. You have something. What's it all about? Well, they kept talking to me, and they said, well, we have two little villages back here, back in the bush villages, and these people knew nothing of Jesus Christ. They were so ignorant, they didn't know anything of the Word. And he said, since we're preaching the Word to them, you know, something's happening. And they said, now the first little village we're coming to is the village of Nazareth. Nazareth. And we're going to pick people up in Nazareth and we're taking them to Galilee. I said, Lord, what's this about? And they got into Nazareth. And all I could see was Jesus walking through Nazareth and Galilee. And here was a whole village of little huts, mud floors, thatched roof, people poor as church mice. And they came running out and they were all big smiles. They wanted to go along to the meeting. And I thought the truck was full. And I didn't know what a Bolivian load was. I'll tell you, they loaded that truck down. And back on to Galilee we go. And the Lord wasn't only working on those native hearts. He was working on my heart. We got back to Galilee. And I said to William and to Brother Holcomb, I said, hey, are there any more villages like this in Bolivia? They said, anymore, there's thousands of them. I said, where are they? They said, just keep going back through the bush. People gathered in that night and Brother Holcomb shared the gospel of Jesus with those people. And while he was sharing that gospel of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down on a gringo in that group. He came down on me that night. He said, you promised. I'm showing you it's these kind of people you're to minister to. Bowed my heart before God. I said, yes, God. But I don't understand. I don't know how to go from here. That's all right, son. You don't need to know. I'll lead you. And that whole trip to Bolivia was just that way. I went back home and it was in the time of planting. It was the time of getting the corn planted. And I was a farmer and I loved farming. Still enjoy it. I loved it. But I got back and the planting just didn't seem the same. Those fields didn't look the same. There was another field. There was another field, and it was so precious. And most brothers just didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. Well, beside the point, God knew what it was all about. If you want to know why I live in Bolivia, that's why I live in Bolivia. And God led me to a whole lot more, but I'll let that go. God led me to Bolivia. He did put me in the deserts of Mexico to teach me for 4.5 years before I got there. And I couldn't understand that one either. But that's what he did. And I needed it. I just want to share this to be an encouragement to you. Dear young people, brothers, sisters. You don't need to understand what all God's doing. You don't need to understand where God's going to take you and how he's going to get you there. All you need to do is say, yes, Lord. Here I am. Take me. I don't care where. It doesn't matter if I have a nice bed to sleep on or if I'm sleeping out there on just a blanket. That's all right. It doesn't matter if it's back in the bush. It doesn't matter if I live without electricity. It doesn't matter if I don't have the conveniences. Those things don't matter. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he has. It's in his whether he possesses God or not. And you know what? When we have God, we have everything. We're the richest people in the world when we have God. You can just leave it all behind and have Him and you're a rich brother, a rich sister. Oh, praise God. And He has gives those riches to us that we might share them with others. That we might be in this world what Jesus was. Jesus wants to walk in your town. He wants to walk in your village. He wants to walk in your home. But He must live in your heart. Praise God. It's all about Him. Go ye therefore. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so, it's not whether you can do it, whether I can do it. It's not, oh well, I believe I can do that. It's not about that at all. Sometimes we get the haughty idea, yeah, I believe I can do that. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We can't do anything without the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. We can't do anything until the Holy Spirit and that power that Jesus said belonged to Him. And He says, I'm giving that power to you through the Holy Spirit until that power possesses us. We have nothing. We have no. We aren't able to do anything. If you don't feel like you have that possession in your heart and soul, get on your knees and cry out to God and ask God. God wants to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him. He does. And I'm not here to dispute how all the baptism of the Spirit is and how we receive it, all of that. Hey, the thing I'm concerned about is whether the Holy Spirit does dwell in you or in my life. That's what God's concerned about. Whether He dwells here. We may have different views. We may have a little different ideas. And generally our ideas, God just sort of kindly just breaks them up and says, hey, you aren't going to put me in your box. I just don't fit there. I'm too big for that. We're little enough to fit there and even in a little box besides. Our box, we'll fit in a pretty small one. But we don't put God in our box. Even though He fills us. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I was impressed and inspired with the testimony of the Apostle Paul in Acts 26. He took that call serious. Now, Paul wasn't necessarily one of the disciples of Jesus when he was here on earth. But later he received apostleship directly from God Himself. And in Acts 26, as he was there before King Agrippa, giving this testimony of what God had wrought in his life. And I believe he gave that testimony, if I may say, from my heart, for the same reason I gave you the testimony of what God worked in my life. All for the glory of God. Nothing of here, but for God. All right? And Paul used that same testimony that he had before God to King Agrippa. And he said, if you want to know why I am what I am and why I preach what I preach, here's the reason. Acts 26, 15. I said, who art thou, Lord, on that Damascus road? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I want to tell you, young people, Jesus appears to you and I for a purpose. It's not just for anyhow. He appears for a purpose. He has a plan. And in that plan, He includes you and I. Praise the Lord. For this purpose He appears. To make thee a minister and a witness. And I want to tell you, every one of us can be a witness. We may not be the minister Paul was. We may not have the same gift someone else has. But we can all be a witness. A witness. Both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee. God doesn't show us everything at one time. He gives. And He gives again. And He gives again. And a little more. For us to be giving. For us to be giving. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Unto whom I now send thee. To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. And inheritance among all them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. God has a call for every one of you. Don't be disobedient to it. On the other hand, you don't need to get all in a fizzy. Oh, am I fulfilling the call of God? You put it in God's hands. God will say, daughter, it's all right. You're my daughter. Just rest. I'll work it out for you. You don't need to try and run ahead. I don't want you to lag behind. Just follow me. Son, you don't need to take something on yourself before I give it to you. I'll lead you. I'll lead you. I'll take you step by step. From where you are to where I am and everything that's in between, it's all right. I'll take care of it. I think sometimes Christians get way too about their calling. God takes care. He wants our surrender, our consecration, our dedication, our devotion, our yieldedness. He takes care of leading us on. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We have seven things here that God called Paul to. And I believe we can apply all these things. He called Paul to be a witness. He called Paul to be sent. We're all sent. He called Paul to help people have their eyes open. And even Paul's eyes. Yeah? We can apply it to our hearts as well. Open eyes. Turn from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. Forgiveness of sins. And then that glorious inheritance among all them that are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? God calls us to that. God wants His people to be revived and lost souls saved. That's what it's all about. The lost being saved and the believer being revived. Your time here at Bible school has been revival, hasn't it? I mean, we didn't come saying, oh, now I'm going to have a week of revivals. Revival comes from God. I couldn't begin a revival. Only God can do that work. And if you feel like you've been revived, I believe you have been. I have too. And it's the work of God. It's the work of God. That's what really the gospel of Jesus is all about. Redemption, salvation, sanctification, defeat of the kingdom of Satan, and victory for the kingdom of God. This wonderful work of God has begun in our hearts. And He that hath begun that good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Till the day Jesus comes and receives us back to Himself. If we fail, by the way, it's not God's fault. He is faithful. He is faithful. We perhaps are all saying here this morning, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I want to be a witness for Jesus. Amen? We all say that, right? I want to be a witness for Jesus. All right. You want to be a witness for Jesus? Let's look at some Bible principles. Important gospel principles. In being a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. You shall receive the Holy Ghost and you shall be witnesses unto me. First of all, an effective witness of Jesus Christ is always linked to the presence and leading of the Holy Spirit. It's always linked to the Holy Spirit. And we've already touched that, but again, Don't try efforts into flesh. Be in prayer. Pray without ceasing. You might say, well, how do I go about my work? Go about your work praying. How do I drive? Well, drive praying. You know, I found it such a blessing to just be driving along or riding in the old microbus. Somebody enter the bus and, Lord, touch that soul. God bless that little baby over there. And bless the mother with a visit. And on and on and on. Pray without ceasing. God does the door opening. But pray. Don't try to do it. Oh yeah, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to really tell these people. No. It's the wrong spirit. Jesus told the disciples once, and when the Samaritans didn't want to receive them, they said, Lord, should we call fire down like Elijah? They thought, my, we're the real fellows here. We've got the spiritual power. Shall we call fire down? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Be careful you know what spirit you're of. Regularly you pray to God, ask God to help you really possess and express the spirit and mind of Jesus. The spirit and mind of Jesus. You know, we so often we want to react. Something happens or something said, and right away we have something to say. Careful. Spirit and mind of Jesus. The entire ministry of Jesus was linked to the presence of the Holy Spirit in His life. And as we look at the activity of the apostles in the book of Acts, we have a book, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. I suppose all your Bibles say that, right? And I would just like to, without throwing anything negative upon that title, I'd just like to say, let's look at this book as the activity of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Because it wasn't the power of Peter or Paul or of John or any of the others. It was the power of the Holy Spirit through those men. You know something, young people? Something that's really inspiring? And that is that God wants to do the same thing in 2018. We sometimes hear this thing, oh, you can't take the book of Acts for the pattern. Forget patterns. Let go and let God. Let God do what He wants to do. Let God heal who He wants to heal. Let God give the gift to whom He wants to give the gift. I had the blessed privilege of seeing a dear young couple that wanted to give their lives to Jesus out from a mud hut. And they couldn't. The man could read a little bit and the lady said, I can't read. And the next week when I came back after they had given their lives to the Lord and I had a Bible study with them, I came back the next time and she said, Brother Ed, could I read? Would I be able, would you allow me to read? And I said, sure. She took the Bible and real slowly she started reading. She was finished. I said, Sister, I thought you told me last week you couldn't read. She said, I couldn't. But I wanted to read so bad the Bible. And I asked Jesus, Jesus, help me learn. Help me to read. And now I can read. A miracle? Amen to the glory of God. Let God do it. Now we don't go around on a campaign and say, oh, we're going to have a healing campaign. And we're going to have an educational campaign. All you people back there in the bush that can't read, come out and we're going to pray and lay hands. You're going to read. Hey, maybe seeking something other than the glory of God. But if God wants to do it, just please let Him do it. Let God. Let go and let God. Don't let go of the good thing, but let go of whatever hinders and let God. Let God do His work. The principle of evangelism. Principle of the gospel. And so you look at the activities of the apostles through the Holy Spirit. Time and again we see that at work. They were letting God move them. Direct them. And there were souls saved. And there were people brought into the faith. There were people healed. And there was sin purged. Acts chapter 5, where the fire of the Holy Spirit burned. Sin just couldn't dwell there. Oh, for congregations like that today. And oh, that I wouldn't mar that. Lord, the potential is in me to mar that. And it's in every one of us. God, deliver us. God, help us. God, spare us. In chapter 7 of the book of Acts, we have Stephen being stoned. He's testifying of God, the goodness of God. And he falls on his knees as the stones were falling. And he testifies that Jesus is good in life and Jesus is good in death. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is still good in life and he's still good in death. There may be, in light of the days we live in, there may be a few of us that will share that, have the privilege of sharing that testimony. That Jesus is good in life and he's good in death. Did you ever think about it that God may be preparing for martyrdom? We live soft. Oh no, that won't happen here. Not the country we live in. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The world is not a friend to grace. It never has been a friend to grace. We need to be preparing before God. God, my life is you. You're my life. This body's your temple. I've given it to you this morning again. If you get more glory by this body dying, it's yours, Lord. It's all right. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus bore the sins of the whole world. He bore your sins and my sins. God was glorified. I believe God had to turn His face away from the body of Jesus hanging there because the sin was there. He became a curse for us all. But Jesus pouring out that blood was the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. And now Jesus is that resurrected, ascended Savior, interceding there for us. I see our time is up. Let's just notice just a few more things this morning. And that is that the gospel triumphs amid persecution. It triumphs amid persecution. It's so easy for us to look back and say, oh, those martyrs of old, that was really, really something, how they had the courage to face martyrdom. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. God's grace is so great. You get under the spout and He can fill you with the same portions of grace that prepare you to die singing for Jesus. Singing the praises of the Lamb. It's all about Him. Now, we turn to the epistles. Remember this. In the epistles, we have the struggles and the issues of the churches, not only from the outside, but also from within. We see that happening in the churches through the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, so on. We see those struggles. I want to tell you something, dear young people. I would any day rather, in my short years, what I've observed, I would any day rather an experienced. I'd rather have pressure from the outside than from within. I'd rather have conflict from the outside than from within. I'd rather have the Catholics trying to run me out like they did. They tried to. And God put His hand. He said, no. I'm protecting him. Number of illustrations I could give. I won't. And God just put His hand down. He said, no, He's mine. I'm shielding Him with the blood. There was protection. But you know what? When that struggle comes from within, it's difficult. And I don't know, but I think most every church goes through those struggles. Some point in time. If you go back home and your congregation is in such a struggle, I want to tell you something. Don't you despair. You draw near to God and you let God be a burning fire in your heart that can ignite other fires, and you love your brothers and sisters, even the ones you feel are difficult to get along with. You love them and you pray for them, and you be a spark of revival that God can use to touch other hearts and bring your congregation in one in Jesus Christ. With the love of God, that love that Jesus taught when He said, "A new commandment I'm giving unto you." The old commandment was love God most of all, and your neighbor as yourself. But a new commandment is that you love your brother, your sister, more than you love yourself. That self-sacrificing love. If we have that love in our hearts, I'll tell you, Jesus can abide there. He abides there. Well, we must face the enemy. We must face the enemy. Let's put on the whole armor of God. And I see our time is up. But just in closing, he that hath an ear, you have an ear this morning? Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I believe God, the Spirit of God, has been speaking to the churches through this week. I believe that. Hear, even if you have only one ear, hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And the Spirit and the bride, what are they saying? They're saying, come! Be ready for the coming of Jesus. Be ready. Come. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's Jesus speaking. Can we all with John respond together? Amen. Together. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And when John said those words, he knew it could cost him his life. He knew there was trial, conflict, difficulty, a world that was unkind to grace that he would face. There was, in the book of Revelation, anguish and tribulation. Difficulty for the saints. Even so, come. Even so, come. Amen? Lord Jesus, and our dear Heavenly Father, we're before you this morning. We live in the last days, we believe. We live in days when you want your Spirit poured out into the hearts of men and women, young and old. There's no age difference between us before you, O God. We're in your family together. And we love you, God. We know you love us more than we can love you. But God, we love each other. We want to love each other. Teach us how. And O God, help us as we go from this place to be witnesses of your saving grace. To all we meet. Keep us in your care, by your power. Defeat the enemy before us. Be victor. You will be, but be victor in our lives. In the name of Jesus, for your glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.